This is the Dynasty Happy Hour Podcast Network. Welcome to the Dynasty Happy Hour with your hosts, Tyler Gunther, Chris Whitman, and Tim Keller to bring us all in the huddle. This is your spot for the best and in-depth Dynasty fantasy football advice. Let's get to it with Tyler, Chris, and Tim.
Welcome back to the Dynasty Happy Hour Podcast. I'm your host, Tim Keller. Along with me, as they always are Tyler and Chris. So how are you guys doing today?
I'm doing great. Another week closer to the combine. That rookie itch, you're trying to look at your team's MFLs back open. So you're kind of looking through your teams, wondering, what can I do? What can I maneuver? It's a great feeling. And I'll let Chris announce the special guest because Chris has, you know, talked with him a lot longer. But I'm very excited for our special guest tonight. So that's very exciting.
All right. So tonight we have the one, the only Matt Kelly, the creator of PlayerProfiler.com, which admittingly was a site that took me a long time to get into because I came at it with a lot of skepticism, but has now become a mainstay of mine. And I am a huge, huge lover of our guest, Matt Kelly. So Matt, welcome to the show. Welcome aboard.
Dynasty Happy Hour Podcast. Cheers, gentlemen.
Normally, I'd be much more happy to have a guest on, but you and I are now mortal enemies since in the
we knew it was
Dynasty
gonna come
Podcast
up.
League that we just had to draft, what, 3-4 weeks ago, you stole Diggs from me, sir, and I've not been very happy about that.
Oh, thank God.
He's been talking about it nonstop.
It was like 3 or 4 picks in front of me. I was really hoping to get him there, but obviously we share similar sentiment on that player. So congratulations on getting a guy that I think can work himself into a wide receiver one status easily.
I don't know what classifies as a snipe. I think I've been trying to intellectualize the notion of snipe and trying to create a definition for what sniping is and when it's okay to feel like you actually have been sniped, because you hear a lot of people, I got sniped. Oh, he sniped me, sniped me, sniped me, sniped, sniped. It's like, were you really sniped there? It's like, I feel like there's too many people talking about too many instances of being sniped. My feeling is, if a player drops for whatever reason, like in that particular draft, the player that dropped the most that was, I think, very noticeable, I think everyone would agree it was a value pick by me, was Melvin Gordon.
Mm-hmm.
Just dropping for no apparent reason. And I didn't even want to draft a running back there, but I had no choice. So if someone picked him a slot ahead of me, I don't consider that, being sniped because I had no business getting him in that slot anyway. I feel like sniped is when you are actually going to overpay for someone because you have this real love affair with him, and then someone else right ahead of you also had that same love affair and willingness to overpay. That's a snipe.
I agree with that. Now, what would be defined, we're talking about sniping, what would be defined as a headshot, like just instant snipe? Yeah, I mean, you have no chance.
Melvin Gordon in the first.
Oh, yes. Well, that's like a suicide bomber.
Yeah. That's a guy running in with C4 strapped on him, running right at you.
Yeah, you just never even saw it coming. Like, whoa.
Hey, man, let that guy create a crater for his own team and himself. Fine. Guess no Melvin Gordon for me this year. No problem. But with the Diggs, he slipped. He should have been gone before that, in my opinion. So I felt lucky to have him. And if someone had drafted him a pick before me, I wouldn't have felt bad. I wouldn't have felt sniped because I wouldn't have felt like I deserved him at that slot anyway. Because admittedly, because I drafted Gordon, I was waiting too long for wide receiver. I deserve to be more punished in that league for not drafting wide receivers earlier. But because there was such a glut of quarterbacks in the early rounds, I was able to get away with it.
Yeah, most definitely.
Yeah, and I got a lot of heat for not taking Gordon. I took Freeman right before you, but obviously all the listeners know, you know, how big of a Freeman guy I am.
These guys are close. Yeah. It's not a big deal.
Yeah. I mean, they're 5 and 6 in my rankings right now. So,
me too. Yeah.
All right. With that being said, let's get into our sponsor, the Sit or Start app. It's the premium app for all your Sit or Start questions during the season. Now, obviously, the season's not going on, but over the summer, you can use them for some news and keep track of all the waiver wire players that you might want to go scoop up for all your leagues. But with that being said, today we have Matt Kelly on, and Matt Kelly is the king of the hot takes. So that's what this episode is going to be centered around, is we're going to go around the horn, spit out some hot takes. I'm sure some of them will be comical. Some of them might be serious. Some of them might start a nice debate. So that's just what we wanted to do. And who better to do that with than Mr. Matt Kelly? So
yes,
with that being said, why don't we let our guest take the floor and shoot out the first one here?
Well, we were talking about this earlier. I do not get the fascination with CJ Anderson. He can still yield you quality picks and players in return. I don't understand it. To me, Devontae Booker is in line to be the primary back in Denver. And CJ Anderson was a placeholder running back, a guy that wasn't even the primary back at the college level, that found his way to the top of a running back depth chart because of three injuries ahead of him, had a lucky stretch of games at the end of 2014, fortunate enough to play the Raiders twice during that span in the year they had the worst run defense in the NFL. Then for two straight years, he's been exposed as an average running back at best, and yet I'm still seeing him locked into the top 20 running backs in various dynasty ranking services, and I don't get it.
Yeah. I mean,
anyone have an idea? You see, you're speechless. No one has an answer. Who are these people that are buying CJ Anderson? I've been asking who this mystery bidder is. Who's the buyer? The secret Russian who's buying up all the CJ. Who is this guy?
I know one.
That's an alternative fact, by the way. Nobody's buying him.
Last year, week four, I had a friend trade Jordy Nelson for CJ Anderson straight up a week before CJ Anderson got hurt, and it literally destroyed his season. It was very funny. And he even asked me, he's like, what do you think I should do? I'm like, well, do what you think is right. And I'm like, you know, if you feel like you need a running back, you're the one that offered it. And then I actually work with a guy who got Jordy, and he's like, should I do this? And I look at him, I'm like, yes, you hit accept right away.
Jordy Nelson was that 31-year-old league winner. Every year in Dynasty, we have a 31-year-old league winner. The year before was Brandon Marshall. This year, Jordy Nelson. There's always that guy that you can get for a couple second rounders, and he's the guy that wins your league for you. Oh, I love those 31-year-old stud wide receivers that have that one last elite breath left.
Who's becoming 31 before the season other than Emmanuel Sanders?
Yeah, we don't really have one this year.
Deshaun Jackson said
that. I was going to go because I don't think Edelman's the guy. People would point to Edelman.
No.
But Edelman's efficiency dropped off a cliff last year. We have a metric on playerprofiler.com called production premium that looks at every given down and distance and what a player did against league average in all different game situations. Edelman was 100th in the NFL in game situation controlled efficiency. So he was propped up by huge volume from Brady and being part of that offense, but he was doing the bare minimum all season with the targets that he received until the Super Bowl. And he made one of the greatest catches in NFL history. And all that inefficiency throughout the season is going to be wiped clean. And now you can trade Julian Edelman for a quality talent in return, thankfully, after that one catch that's seared into the consciousness of so many fantasy gamers.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. And oh God, well, I just had you guys were asking what 31-year-old will, you know, win a league. And I turned 31 this year. So hopefully that will
Calvin Benjamin, maybe.
I think Kevin White as well might be in there.
Rashad Perriman's over 31, so he's not viable.
Didn't he try basketball? Kevin White's another one. I think Kevin White is the CJ Anderson of wide receivers, where I just don't get the fascination.
But
I don't understand why there's so much hope in this Kevin White. I don't get it.
We actually have a new article out by a new writer about Kevin White, Michael Kimball. If you guys want to check that out, it's actually a pretty good article. He talks about, you know, the value and
the likelihood of him popping. Yeah,
the hope. But yeah, I agree. I do want to say one of my hot takes. I did a lot of rookie-based hot takes.
Okay.
My hot, My hot take is the Pats trade Jimmy Garoppolo for 103 or 112, and they take Fournette or Delvin Cook.
Oh.
Hot take.
Oh, God, no. Please, no.
Wow.
I don't want that at all.
But can you see it? That would, Brady's aging. What if Brady starts declining? Then they have that workhorse running back.
But that's not their style.
Yeah, but they could. They
platoon okay, things. They still have the James White. They have Tyler Belichick's Gaffney that they've been holding into the bat, you know, on the practice
get
squad for years and years.
Tyler Gaffney.
I'm not on Tyler Gaffney. I'm saying they're on Tyler Gaffney. They've kept Tyler Gaffney around for a reason.
Yeah, to sit on the bench.
Matt, you're the only Patriots fan in this room.
I feel the same way. There's something rumbling in New England, and you can feel this desire to acquire one of these elite running backs, whether it's in the draft or it's in free agency. The two free agent running backs I think New England wants, first of all, Le'Veon Bell. Remember, they submitted a restricted free agent claim, a tender for Emmanuel Sanders from the Steelers 4 years ago, and then the Steelers matched for a year, and then the Steelers lost him as an unrestricted free agent to Denver the following year. So the Patriots have tried to snipe elite talent from the Pittsburgh Steelers before. So I could see them doing it again with Le'Veon Bell. They have the cap space. They're top five in the NFL in cap space. Now they're going to have to devote a lot of that to re-signing guys on defense like Malcolm Butler, but they have flexibility to sign one of these big time free agent offensive skill position players. We're talking about Terrell Pryor. We're talking about Alshon Jeffrey, Le'Veon Bell. They can target the, it's unbelievable that the Super Bowl champion is in a position to target one of those skill position players in free agency. And if you're looking at the draft, I'm more thinking that they hope that McCaffrey falls to them at the 32nd pick. That would be interesting. That would be Danny Woodhead 2.0.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what they do. I feel like that Jimmy Garoppolo trade is almost going to happen. You know, it has to. They're not going to pay him with Brady playing 2 to 3 more years. But like you said, I feel like the change is coming. I feel like they know Brady's going to be 40. They need to start running the ball. Like Garrett Blunt did well. Imagine Fournette or Cook behind, you know,
what about
in that offense.
Guy? What about this guy, the restricted free agent, Isaiah Crowell? What if somehow Isaiah Crowell is packaged in this Garoppolo deal somehow, some way, or they simply sign him to a tender as a restricted free agent and Cleveland lets him go, decides to spend their money elsewhere? That feels a lot like the Corey Dillon signing from a decade ago to me.
I was going to say that. Yeah, that has Belichick written all over it.
And the funny thing is, if they actually did Crowell in that deal, Cleveland would probably be able to only give the 33rd overall pick for Garoppolo, I feel. I feel like with Crowell, it would kind of allow them to keep their two first. So,
right.
Yeah, that'd be pretty good.
Crowell and the Patriots would be dynamite. He was incredibly efficient last year on a team that did not have a passing game to keep linebackers honest at all. So when he was in the game, they knew they were going to run the ball and they couldn't stop him well over 4 yards a carry. He was in the top 10 yards per carry, top 20 in yards per touch on the Browns. I don't care if they have an even mediocre run blocking offensive line, even if it's serviceable. The fact that they don't have a passing game really puts those running backs at a disadvantage. And for him to continue to be efficient in that situation, that was incredibly impressive. Isaiah Crowell really turned the corner last year in my mind and in my rankings.
Yeah, it's fun to watch him do well because, you know, if you watched his tape in Georgia, ooh, you knew he was going to be something. He was a special guy going into Georgia his freshman year. But yeah, I mean, imagine if they had McCaffrey and Zach Zenner. Ooh, all white backfield. Just saying.
Yeah, that would be very big, right? Yes.
Matt, I got to ask, this Andy Warhol knockoff you got behind you, the remake, is that Kobe Fleener or Tom Brady? Because they kind of have a similar face when you only
Oh, come on. You can't tell who that is.
No,
I can't guess who this is.
I'm saying that's Janice.
I'm going
with Kobe. This is Janice.
That's Janice.
I can tell it was his picture. Janice.
It was your picture for a while on Twitter.
No, no, I can see the regular Janice one with the arms up. I didn't know it was Janice in the small one too.
He's got two real Janice pictures there, and then he's got the world Janice on top. Yeah, I was gonna let it go. I mean, I love it, but yeah, I
then he's probably got a Janice fat head on the other side.
Other pictures, it goes all the way over.
The Janice shrine. I love it.
I
have to ask.
Friday for our patrons. So I've set up a patron program where you can join the minion program and get a free hoodie or free t-shirt. And also if you join the program, you get one show every Friday that's for minions only. So I do that via sort of a webcast. So this is my whole setup for my Friday show, where I'm actually beaming my face out to literally hundreds of people.
No, it's like Valentine's Day. Like, I can't even describe it. Like,
it's Jeff Janis as Marilyn Monroe, man. And that's what he is. He's a bombshell.
Yeah. He's beautiful. He's beautiful.
On bombshell. Timeless. Jeff Janis.
Now, I have to ask, how much in your house are you going to have to do if Jeff Janis it just completely falls on his face?
You mean goes to the Patriots and becomes an all-pro?
Don't they already have Chris Hogan? Aren't they the same player?
Yeah, but their director of player personnel went to Saginaw Valley State. Think about it.
Oh,
think about it. Connections.
They do have,
think about
they
it.
Do have
world
a lot
connecting
of players.
Oh. And everyone's afraid of that happening because they know the Patriots would unlock him in a way that other teams probably wouldn't or couldn't. And it just, for non-Patriot fans, it's just annoying to think about.
Mm-hmm. I guess it'd be a good kick returner for him.
The Patriots have done this over and over again, where they take a player who, for whatever reason, if it was off the field issues, if it was just in Janice's case, it seems like he and Aaron Rodgers just don't see eye to eye. And they bring these players in, and then they just, things just work out in New England that just don't work out anywhere else. And to your point, Matt, I want to say it was like the third preseason game. You just saw Janice looked like it was supposed to be a hot route. Janice ran his regular route, it looked like. And you see Aaron Rodgers just throwing a fit. He's throwing his hands up in the air. And I think it's got to at least be 50% Aaron Rodgers not wanting him on the field.
Yeah, if Janice Aaron Rodgers liked him, they were friends off the field. If he respected him in any way, all he has to do is go to Mike McCarthy's office and say, play Jeff Janice, and Jeff Janice instantly becomes a starter.
Yep.
That's how that works.
They need an Allstate commercial together.
No, I think he might have made a pass at his, I think now fiance, Janice made a pass at her. And maybe, I don't know, locker room issues.
Maybe she winked back.
So humble and so unassuming. This guy just wants to play football. He's not, he doesn't have a big ego. He's not trying to take people's girlfriends. You know, it's frustrating because people that talk about players doing it the right way, they don't seem to like Janice. The old school people don't like Janice. The film gurus don't like Janice because he's body catcher and they don't like that. But they like all the other things that he does, but they don't give him credit for being just a quote unquote good football player, because that's part of being a good football player is being good on special teams, being willing to tackle, willing to block. Those are the things that generally go into being a good football player, but Jeff Janice doesn't get any credit for any of that because, for whatever reason, film analysts feel like they saw something on Jeff Janice that's a flaw, and they're never going to let him get away with it.
Even if he has flaws, in the opportunity he's gotten, be it by injury or whatever else, the Cardinals playoff game sticks in my head. All the other guys are injured, so Jeff Janice is in, and what's he do? He puts up a monster game. So
that was my worry.
You know who loves to body catch more than anyone else in the league? He wasn't in the league last year, but before last year, Martavis Bryant would body catch every other deep pass. He would pin it to his body. That's how he would catch it. He's not a hands catcher, but he's explosive, and he's taking the top off defenses, and he's out-physicaling corners for the ball and for position, and those are the same things that Jeff Janice can do. People think it's crazy to talk about Jeff Janice and Martavis Bryant in the same sentence. I see them as kind of similar guys.
Yep.
And despite being out all last year, Martavis Bryant maintains value, and it's starting to increase again.
Oh, I'm on board, man. I'm down. I want a feel-good story. I want one of these guys to kick substance abuse. I'm so tired of the Josh Gordons infusing me with hope. And it's like watching a television show and you get hopeful for the main character that he's going to turn it around, that he's going to make it. It's going to be a happy ending. And then it doesn't. I want a happy ending. So I'm just one of those people. I'm a sentimental person. I want things to work out for people. That bleeds over into fantasy football. I run an analytics-based website, yet you see Martavis Bryant strangely high on our rankings. That's because at the end of the day, behind every website is a human being.
Yeah.
Yep, completely agree.
All right, Chris, you got a hot take for us?
All right. Corey Davis is a top 16 wide receiver in 2017 on the Baltimore Ravens. Now, Baltimore does have a mid-pick. That's not encouraging, honestly, because I think if you look at talent-wise, I think it's not even close, honestly, that after going through and looking at everything again, Corey Davis, man, it's above and beyond between him and Mike Williams. And between the two of them, I think that Corey Davis will have a bigger impact immediately, and I think he has a much higher upside overall. Now, you have Steve Smith gone. Mike Wallace is potentially a cap casualty. I think it's $7.5 million you're looking at for him this year. They will probably restructure it if they really want to keep him. And Breshad Perriman is just not a diverse enough wide receiver to be number one in Baltimore. He has a trick. He can still do it. But, I mean, can he really be the number one in Baltimore? I'm very skeptical. Corey Davis, on the other hand, I think he allows that offense an opportunity to actually diversify and not be the same Baltimore offense that it's been for about 2-3 years at this point. And I just think that with Flacco, I don't think you're ever going to get top 10. That's not very common for him. But I think it can do enough to get him that top 16-ish range. Kind of similar to what happened to Michael Thomas. He's going to have some really good, solid, consistent pop weeks. And it might take a couple of weeks to get it together, but I like the opportunity that Corey Davis could have in Baltimore. It's wide open for him.
I got one hot take. Next year, Chris will not have a hot take on a Baltimore receiver. Good Lord. This is 2 years in a row.
Have Mike Williams over Corey Davis? Seriously? Does anyone have Mike Williams over Corey Davis? Because Tyler. I don't think it's close between Corey Davis and Mike Williams. I think Corey Davis is a 5-star prospect. And everybody else is either a 4-star or a 3-star prospect.
Yep. On my rankings, I actually just switched today. I watched a little more tape at work, and I think the game speed does it for me with Corey Davis. He just seems like he's got another trick in his bag. We're talking about a lot of tricks, but
no one's used the cliche. I'm proud of you guys. Proud of the Dynasty Happy Hour podcast. Not falling for that. I'll say it. One trick pony. One trick pony. I'll say it because I'm a guest, but the hosts aren't saying it. I'm proud of that.
Now, yeah. Just for the record, they're busting my balls because last year I said Mike Wallace is going to be a wide receiver too with 1,000-plus yards, 75 catches, amount of touchdowns. All right, Mike Wallace.
I'll join in on that one. Yeah. Yeah.
I can't clap. I did not believe one bit. I was not a fan.
A fan of Mike Wallace.
Yeah, no one likes Mike Wallace.
Anyone, even in Baltimore, that's a fan of Mike Wallace.
His mother hates him.
Try to step back and be rational fantasy players and find value later in rounds, and you can make a case for Mike Wallace. I was arguing against it. I was arguing for Kamar Aiken just because I've seen enough of Mike Wallace at the NFL level, but he's resurrected. Hey, congratulations.
I don't think you're too far off there, Chris, with a top 15 for Corey Davis in his rookie year. Obviously, if he would go to the Ravens, like you said,
top 15 player,
top 15 wide receiver, right?
Top 15 wide receiver, like a mid WR2.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The targets, man. Hey, for the past 2 years have been what, 1 and 2 in terms of pass attempts.
Mm-hmm. And like you said, if everybody else leaves and just him and Perriman there, I thought that Perriman definitely had some flashes last year, but I don't know if he's got the ability to maintain that over 16-game season. So if he's fed the targets, I could definitely see the production being there.
It's always possible if you land on a certain depth chart and the dude ahead of you gets hurt. So if he goes to Dallas or Atlanta and Dez or Julio break their foot again, I mean, I'm sorry I just did that. Everybody, I'm really sorry. Wow. I'm really sorry I did that. I'm sorry. That was a party foul. Woo! Okay, sorry, everyone. I didn't mean to do that. But that's the path. That's the way it could happen. If he goes to Dallas, Dez gets hurt, then he can be the number one receiver, clear out that depth chart, make him the guy. Then you can conceivably be a top 15 wide receiver. But in a normal depth chart scenario, wherever he lands, I don't see him as a top 20 wide receiver. He'd have to go to a place like Green Bay or New Orleans that's going to establish him as a starter and feed him targets. And that's just, it's uncommon. Most of the time, our hearts get broken on guys like this, and they end up on the 49ers. Like, we know it. It's not the 49ers. I'm not saying the 49ers. I'm saying they land on teams with low volume offenses, game manager quarterbacks. And he'll land on somewhere like Kansas City, and it's just gonna be a wet fart. You know it. I mean, I killed everybody just now. I'm sorry.
A lot of mocks have him.
Take if I've ever had one. Woo!
A lot of people have him going to Arizona or Philadelphia. What do you think of those two spots?
Terrible Matt? Landing spots. Neither has a quarterback. This is what I'm talking about. There's bad quarterbacks all around the league, and these are the places that we need to surround our bad quarterback with weapons. Got to help Carson Wentz. Yeah. Well, did you ask Corey Davis if he wants to go to Philadelphia? No, you're not going to ask him. You're not going to ask his dynasty owners. We're going to get fucked.
Tim's crying inside right now.
No.
Michael Thomas scenario last year was so great. I mean, it was so great. If you were a big fan of Michael Thomas, I was only a fan once he landed on New Orleans. I wish I was a fan before. I was not. But if you were a big Michael Thomas fan and you saw the draft, it was like, oh my God, this is the best thing ever. It's not going to happen with Corey Davis. I'm just trying to set expectations low so maybe I can be pleasantly surprised.
And look, I just want to say, Tim is frozen in the picture.
Anyways, I got the Eagles flag back here. But it is well documented that I am not the world's largest Carson Wentz fan. I was not a fan of the trade in order to move up to get him.
Ugh.
I've been overly, I guess, in most people's opinions, critical of him. In our first set of rankings, you, Tyler, and Chris were much higher than I was on Carson Wentz. I just see the guy for what he is. I've seen every snap of him this season. I don't want to say I'm not a believer. I'm hopeful, I guess, but he hasn't sold me by any means either. The kid definitely has arm talent. He can make some throws and you're like, wow, that's a big boy throw there. But then he can turn right around and the very next play, you're like, what the hell was that? What were you thinking? You didn't see that guy there? Or I don't know. So I'm not sold on Carson Wentz 100% yet.
If he was a couple of years younger, it'd be a different conversation, man. If he was 22,
it'd be a much
easier conversation. The guy's going to be 25. I mean, what are we talking about here? You know, he's a fully formed professional at this point. It kills me. So I like Philadelphia. It was my childhood team. I was Patriots and Eagles. You know, it was my NFC team. You know, I had an NFC team is when you have an AFC team when you were a kid. But I had both, you know, starter jackets because of Randall Cunningham. So I've always liked the Eagles going back to Randall Cunningham. I've always rooted for them. It's a great fan base. And the thing that how you know a fan base is good is because when they are lower on their own quarterback than their friends, that's how you know a fan base is good because they're skeptical.
Well, they want
a skeptical fan base. You don't want the Cowboys and Patriots fans who just assume best case scenario every year. Oh, Super Bowl. That's right. I mean, we didn't make the Super Bowl. This is crazy. I mean, Dallas fans were so shocked when they lost in the playoffs. Like, what?
It was our destiny. How do you assume you're
going to lose and then be pleasantly surprised when you win? You're a douchebag otherwise.
Thank you. That was my aspect of the Super Bowl. Being an Atlanta fan, I was like, we don't got this. Yeah, and even when we had the 28-3 lead, I was like, not going to win it. It's my luck. We're not going to win. And well, you know, my pessimism, you know, got the best of me and it didn't work out, you know, still getting over it.
All right. I want to fire off a hot take here. Mine's gonna revolve around Mr. Jamison Crowder down there in Washington, D.C. This past year, once he had like 68, 69 catches, something like that, just below 70. Next year, I got him slated for 90 catches, over 1,200 yards, and I'll say 10 touchdowns. Deshaun's gone. Pierre Garçon's gone. I think Jamison's going to be – I think he's going to be the man in Washington next year. I know that there's a lot of love for – the up-and-coming wide receiver. But I think Jameson Crowder at least is going to start out the season super, super hot. And I like him big time next year.
Yeah, me too. I love him. I like Jameson Crowder a lot because that depth chart got cleared out. I wouldn't even mind Corey Davis going there. Why? Because that's a high-volume offense.
Yeah.
Kirk Cousins can sustain three fantasy viable wide receivers in that passing game when they're top five in the NFL every year in pass plays. That's what you want. And what do you want? You want your volume slack guy on a high volume offense with a player like Kirk Cousins who can just pepper that flanker all day, all the way down the field. I don't know what happened to him at the end of the season. I mean, Jameson Crowder had the worst December on record for a fantasy wide receiver. I mean, in December, 5.513. Those are his fantasy point out. I mean, he destroyed anyone that was trying to start him in the playoffs. I mean, just ethered the teams he was on in the playoffs. I don't know what happened. I'm willing to write it off and just look at his full body of work from last year and go, this guy is on an upward trajectory heading into his third year where, yeah, mid-range WR2 based on targets where you can get not even 90. I think you're high on the yards, low on the targets. I think he can threaten 100 targets, 100 receptions, and maybe not even get to 1,100 yards. I think he's a close to the line of scrimmage target monster in Washington.
What blew me away was his red zone targets last year. I didn't expect that that sort of production in the red zone, but Kirk Cousins seems to like to throw to him down there. So I'll take that.
Now, Matt, before we started, you brought up your what you did an episode or two ago on your Roto Underworld podcast about your rankings versus DLF,
right?
And yes. about ADP. This one's interesting. Jameson Crowder, 46 overall in ADP. That's behind Kelvin Benjamin, Sterling Shepard, Jordan Matthews, Devontae Adams, Jordy Nelson, Michael Crabtree. Randall Cobb, he's behind. He's right next to Tyrell Williams.
Yeah, that's right. I have him near Tyrell Williams as well. I have him at 37, so I have him squarely in the top 40. Around guys that I think are up-and-comers, like Marquise Lee, Tyler Lockett, but also right in that same area with your established guys in their early 30s, Eric Decker, Emmanuel Sanders, Jordy Nelson. That's the zone where I have Jameson Crowder. Think of him like you would think of Rishard Matthews, guys in that area. That's where I like him. But I think he has more upside than most people perceive. They look at him as a slot guy, mm-hmm. and then they think low ceiling. You think Jameson Crowder, word association, low ceiling, low upside. That's why he slips in dynasty drafts, because there's so many dynasty leaguers love to chase the ceiling on these guys. Whereas with me, I actually think he has a high ceiling because if you're getting 100 catches, sometimes it just depends on the year because of randomness. You could have a 10 touchdown season mixed in there just based on circumstance. And then that's a high end WR2, low end WR1 season. That's not out of the realm of plausibility just because he's on Washington. If he were on Houston, I would hate him. He's not anything. He doesn't compare to DeAndre Hopkins. He's not never going to supplant DeAndre Hopkins. But as long as he's on a depth chart where he doesn't have a Julio Jones proper wide receiver one in the NFL to threaten his target share, you have to love Jameson Crowder.
And that's why with Doxson having his injury all last year, he wasn't able to establish himself. So there's going to be that learning curve for year two for him. So like I said, to start the season, I think it's all Crowder. He's the guy that's been around the league. Kirk Cousins is familiar with, comfortable with. I don't see why Crowder at least can't have an 8-game stretch to start the season where he is easily the number one receiver there in Washington.
Yeah, I have Crowder 10 slots ahead of Josh Doxson, and a nice sort of marker in the sand for me is a guy like Tyreek Hill. So are you a person who's chasing upside, who's chasing small sample sizes? Well, then you're probably going to like a Tyreek Hill more than you're going to like a less sexy Jameson Crowder. Whereas I see the people that are the sort of hyper-rational, less susceptible to getting swept up into a hype storm, will have a Jameson Crowder ahead of a Tyreek Hill.
And speaking of Tyreek Hill, that I'm going to go right into my second hot take. I got Tyreek Hill ranked as a wide receiver 3.
Damn you.
I have him ranked as a wide receiver 3. I do not see what he did this year as something he can repeat. I think he was used, especially if you're in a league with the special teams points, if you get return yards, or, you know, things like that, you're going to look at those season long numbers and you're going to think, oh my God, this guy's, you know, that was his rookie season. He's going to be a monster. And by all accounts off the field, this guy is just not a good person. I don't want to bet, but I would not be surprised if something happens that gets him to miss a few games here and there throughout his career. So I don't think Tyreek Hill is going to be able to repeat what he did last year. I have him ranked as a wide receiver 3 going into the 2017 season.
I think I have him as a wide receiver 4, but I actually want, I think I wanted to say this hot take before, you know, we end the show, because Matt Kelly is going to love this hot take. And I think Chris knows where I'm going with this. CJ Procise is a running back 1 with 10 plus touchdowns, over 1,300 total yards, and is the running back 1 for Seattle. I love you, CJ Procise.
But Thomas Rawls. There's Thomas Rawls there.
God. Is he trying the voice of public opinion, Chris?
I'm just trying the voice of the guy that just doesn't realize what the hell's happening in Seattle.
The same guy that's buying CJ Anderson already owns Thomas Rawls, and he's never giving him up. Through my cold dead hands, you're getting my precious Thomas Rawls. Hey, can I trade for your CJ Anderson shares? Okay, great.
What was better, CJ Anderson's 8-game streak in 14 or Rawls's like 6.5-game streak in 15?
Oh, that Rawls streak was unbelievable because their offensive line was horrendous at run blocking. So that was even more impressive to me. And, you know, you got to give credit to Russell Wilson for just opening up the holes, giving those running backs a little bit extra time, freezing the linebackers. Hopefully he's healthy this year. And what's interesting when you look at Seattle, the amount of money, cap space that they've devoted to offensive line, it's not merely 32nd in the league, dead last. It's half of the 31st team. It's such a low number that proportionally you can barely see it on a bar graph. It's just that low. And that's offensive to me. If I were a Seattle Seahawks fan, that would be evidence of some general manager failure right there. I mean, incompetence in the front office. If you let your offensive line get to that, they were playing a guy at the offensive line position that had never played offensive line before. They think that they can just convert players from other positions and just make offensive linemen in a lab. That's not how it works, Seattle.
Now wasn't that player not only never played offensive line, wasn't he a college basketball player that they thought, I bet he could play offensive line?
It boggles the mind. It's time to invest in offensive line. You saw what Dallas did last year with their offense. It all starts with the offensive line in Dallas that makes everything possible. Hopefully Seattle's realizing that's where they need to spend some of their draft picks. I think they will. And if they do, that's going to be tremendous news for the true number one running back on Seattle, CJ Procise. CJ Procise, because I understand that CJ Procise also, well, that's a small sample size too, Matt Kelly. Well, it's not like CJ Procise had many carries last year. No, but the problem is we thought going in that CJ Procise was this good, and then all he did was prove us correct. Thomas Rawls came out of complete nowhere. The threshold that Thomas Rawls needs to reach to sort of disprove his entire mediocre college resume, it's a high bar that he needs to meet. And he did a good job meeting it in his rookie year, and then he face planted in his second year. And if you still believe in him, you're misguided. With CJ Procise, all he's done is prove that he is capable of being a top 10 back in this league because he has the size, he has the receiving capability. And what we saw in that small sample size, which was so encouraging, was a niftiness between the tackles owed to Devontae Freeman in the niftiness between the tackles, finding those nooks and crannies and turning nothing into something in Seattle is what you saw in that brief moment we got to see CJ Procise shine.
I honestly think Matt just, he knew I loved Devontae Freeman. And when I thought my CJ Procise love couldn't get any bigger, he decides to comp Procise to Devontae Freeman. And I don't know, like, just It just a
nifty you just game. You just want to end the show now and go spend the rest of the show in the bathroom.
Let's just end it. It's great. This has recouped my Atlanta Falcons Super Bowl loss. I think I'm the happiest I've been in football terms since Atlanta made the Super Bowl. So yeah, it's great. And I think with Seattle, they're depending on Tom Cable too much. He's a good coach, but he just
listen. Here's my thought on the Tom Cable thing. If you had the world's best chef and you gave him Spam and Kraft macaroni and cheese, he cannot make you a five-star meal. You have one of the best offensive line coaches in the NFL. Get him at least top 15 style offensive linemen and then hope he can make them better. You can't spend, like Matt said, less than half of what the 31st team in the league is spending on linemen and expect anyone, including Tom Cable, to do anything with it.
I call your bluff on the Spam thing. I think I could do that.
Touche, sir. So, Tyler, Chris, either one of you guys got another hot take?
Well, Matt.
I was going to let him go last. I was going to let him finish us off.
Okay. So, Chris, you go.
Matt. Who do I want to piss off more here? I'm trying to go for maximum amount of people. All right. Devonta Freeman and Tevin Coleman.
Turn it off.
neither one of them will be top 15 running backs in 2017.
All right, okay. Wait. Okay, are you saying
same with
because
the Baltimore takes? I want to say same with your Baltimore takes. This is 2 years in a row, Chris. Do not learn. About Devonta Freeman.
Is this because they're going to eat into each other's production? They're both going to be very quality running backs.
No. First of all, I didn't say anything about. I didn't do a bold prediction about Devonta Freeman last year. No, my thing is with Tevin Coleman mostly. If you look at his numbers, I mean, he averaged almost 14 yards per reception. That is ridiculous, absolutely ridiculous for a running back. And the amount of receptions that he got, just period, like for how much he was actually playing. I mean, his yards per touch and his yards per opportunity are just, I just don't think he can actually do that again. I just don't think it's going to be there. The amount of long catches he had, I just don't think are sustainable for a second year. And with Devonta Freeman, yeah, I do part think of it because it's Shanahan. I do think that the offense in general is going to go down. How often do teams become the number one scorers for 2 years in a row? And then add on to it that they lost a Super Bowl. And yes, I'm very superstitious about this. Teams rarely lose a Super Bowl and have a good year afterwards. The Patriots are one of the only exceptions, hence why so many people hate them. But that and they win. But I just think that we're banking on it happening and basically going, yep, it's locked and loaded. They're both top 15 running backs for 2017. I just think that it's just – so much went into like the perfect storm of him having it this year that to assume it's automatically going to happen next year, I just think it's kind of a little spooky there.
I think a big thing with the Tevin Coleman was everybody saw him as that one cut runner coming out of college, not this prolific receiving back.
That was
me. And then this year, Freeman is more of the between the tackle style runner. Yeah, he likes to bounce it outside and everything. But then Tevin Coleman all of a sudden is the, you know, the receiving back of the two of them there in Atlanta, which really caught a lot of people off guard. So I would imagine
the world is flat in Atlanta with a running game. The running game is flat. It doesn't make any sense. Everything is upside down. What I thought was true is false. What I thought was false is true. I can't believe that they're the opposite roles that I thought they would be playing. Who would have thought that?
Because they realized that Tevin Coleman is super fast, and when you get him in space, he is very hard to bring down when he gets a full head of steam. And what's the best way to do that? Just rollouts, you know. Yeah. There you go. And he's got good hands. He showed that this year. And with Devonta Freeman, he is just a guy that wants to play. He's like Jeff Janis. He's a guy that, hey, I just want to play football. He came from a bad place. He is very happy where he is at. You know, during the Super Bowl talks, he was talking, hey, you know, they're talking if the contract talks were going to be a big deal. He's like, no, you know, back where I played, we're getting shot when we're playing football. We're getting shot at. So, no, there's no distraction, just playing football. And he's going to get paid. I see that happening. And he's going to still produce. He'll probably put up the same numbers. I think they're bringing in the same system with, what's his name? Sarkisian, did I say that right?
Sarkisian.
Yeah. It's the same system. And if, honestly, Alabama wanted him to be offensive coordinator, and Alabama runs a lot. Think of what he's going to bring to Atlanta. So I don't see the downfall. I'm higher on Tevin Coleman than I was last year. Chris, you can agree with that. We were not big on Tevin Coleman. It was because I was huge on Devontae Freeman. But yeah, I mean, Coleman showed me a lot as an Atlanta fan. And that pass catching ability, I did not see, like Matt said. And I'm a believer.
All right. That'll leave us with Mr. Matt Kelly himself, the king of the hot takes. Why don't you wrap us up with...
Why don't I give you guys like 10 to 20 rapid fire running back only hot takes? How about that?
Yes.
That works.
All right, for it.
Let's do it.
Do that. Okay. First and foremost, Jordan Howard will get injured, but because he's such an upright runner and he has almost no wiggle whatsoever, I think that he is a lot more injury prone than people think and take a huge hit, go down. It's going to be the Jeremy Langford show. And because the Bears have a top five run blocking offensive line, it could make Jeremy Langford an RB1 in fantasy for at least a swath of weeks this coming season, believe it or not. Yes, you already said CJ Procise, RB1 in fantasy. I can see that absolutely. Jay Ajayi will not be the starting running back for the Miami Dolphins by the end of the season. Duke Johnson, because the Patriots are going to sign away Isaiah Crowell from the Browns, Duke Johnson becomes the primary back there, and he will be like a little David Johnson, super active in the passing game and a lot better between the tackles than most people realize, except the people that watched him at Miami that know that he is an all-terrain runner. Duke Johnson, RB1 in fantasy. Spencer Ware is going to be supplanted by someone from the NFL draft. Someone like a Samaje Perine is going to end up going to Kansas City and supplanting Spencer Ware there. Lamar Miller. Go ahead.
Oh, I said, say it loud and proud. I love P. Ryan in Kansas City. Absolutely.
That would be great.
Love that.
There you go. Sorry, you guys disrupted my flow. Let me get back. Let me get back to flow here.
Don't interrupt his flow.
Could be Kareem Hunt in Kansas City as well, by the way. Anyway,
true.
Lamar Miller will get benched. He's not good. Mark Ingram will not be back with the Saints this year. They don't like him. He doesn't like them. And they're going to draft Christian McCaffrey. Christian McCaffrey on the Saints will be Reggie Bush 2.0. He will be an RB1 in fantasy. Basically, Danny Woodhead at the peak of his powers in San Diego is what Christian McCaffrey will be for the next 10 years in New Orleans. Ty Montgomery will be the number one back and every down workhorse. Ty Montgomery, believe it. Jerick McKinnon also an every down workhorse in Minnesota. They're going to invest in the offensive line, and Jerick McKinnon will be a revelation. Devontae Booker is your primary back in Denver, but because their offense is so constipated, he won't be able to crack the RB1 tier. Eddie Lacy's not going to be in the league. He's going to wash out, similar to Trent Richardson. And I'm not saying that because they both went to Alabama. I'm saying that because they both have eating disorders. They both have a problem with food, and it makes it very difficult for them to not get fined and to get into a condition of a professional athlete. So I don't think Eddie Lacy has professional athlete in his range of outcomes. I think he's trying, just like Trent Richardson, I believe, was trying. But I think that just the way they're wired, they can't do it. And I think Eddie Lacy's not going to find himself on an NFL team next year. A lot of guys go through training camp and we just assume they're going to make a roster and be relevant because we remember them being very good. But little did we know, they ended up turning 26 and get flushed out of the league a couple of years before we're ready for them to be flushed out of the league. That could be true with Latavius Murray. I think that the musical chairs music is going to stop and Latavius Murray is not going to have a starting job by the time the NFL draft concludes. The best running back on the New York Giants is still Shane Vereen. I see no reason why Shane Vereen won't lead all New York Giants in fantasy points this season. Same thing with DeAndre Washington. He's the best back on the Raiders. If they don't draft anyone, be prepared for DeAndre Washington to be a primary back. Jonathan Stewart and LeGarrette Blount, both cut candidates, they may not have jobs by the end of preseason either. And if you're ready and willing to accept Rex Burkhead into your heart, get ready for Rex Burkhead, starting running back for the Cincinnati Bengals. Jeremy Hill, who?
Now I want to circle back to Eddie Lacy. He's not focusing on buns of steel. He's focusing on buns of cinnamon, more and less.
Wow. I don't like to make fun of people with eating disorders or any kind of disorder or any kind of, you know, physical problem. I empathize with Eddie Lacy, but man, he's fat. He's fat. You can't play. I'm sorry. It's not a sport for fat people. I mean, if you could play defensive line, sure. You could be the guy they can't move in the run game. And okay, then you can be in the league 10 years as a big fat guy.
Position change for Eddie Lacy?
But not running back. Come on.
No.
Come on. It's a joke.
Matt, I know. I got to ask, because you mentioned a player that I'm actually really curious about your point of view on. And because in season, you're kind of on and off, and like, you know, sell high, you know, sell low, whatever else on him. Jay Ajayi, why is he going to lose his job? Just out of curiosity. Is this inefficiency, or, you know, are they going to draft somebody? What is it that leads you to believe? I mean, they when healthy, they do have a top seven-ish run line. So I'm just curious what it is about Jay Ajayi that's so terrible.
I don't think the Miami Dolphins would have any problem drafting a Joe Mixon. I think that they are going to draft someone like a Kareem Hunt, like a Joe Mixon, who is better than people think in the running game, and that when training camp starts, they're going to realize, oh yeah, that's right. This guy was a fifth round pick and he's in no way special. This running back we drafted, he's a hell of a player. And all the generic sports fans just assume the guy that was running for 200 yards a game throughout the center part of the season, that he's a star in the league. Who could challenge him? And then all of a sudden, we're going to start to hear reports that he's having conditioning issues, that there's friction with the coaches, and it's not necessarily anything he's done. It's just the coaches found someone better. But when the media believes incorrectly that you have an elite talent on your hands, like I think a lot of people that cover the Miami Dolphins think that Jay Ajayi is an elite talent and he's not, then you're going to have to start to see all these narratives play themselves out. And then before you know it, he's splitting carries with a rookie, and then the rookie slowly usurps him as the season goes on. I'm not talking about Kenyon Drake. I'm not a Kenyon Drake believer. I like Damian Williams, but I'm not this Damian Williams truther. I'm talking about one of these running backs that we all like, because you start to run the numbers on all these running backs we like. We like a lot of running backs in this draft, right? There's so many good running backs in this draft. They're so good, right? They have to land on teams. And a lot of incumbent running backs are going to have their fantasy value eviscerated. And Ajayi actually is the archetype running back that has that happen to him, because he was in no way special. And before the season started last year, the Miami Dolphins coaches didn't think of him as anything special.
Yeah, and Chris, I just want to say one thing about this. No, really. I would feel terrible for you if Joe Mixon supplanted Ajayi. Oh. Like, no joke, I would feel terrible. Just that's all I'm going to say. That would be the worst case scenario for you.
Yeah. Well, with that, that's going to wrap us up. So
somebody's going to go to Miami. There's going to be a running back go to Miami. You know.
Oh, sure. No, I definitely agree with you on that. I do think someone's going to go. I'm just wondering how high they're actually going to go on him. I mean, because they do need another corner. They need this thing called linebackers. They don't know that they exist.
No, it's Miami, dude. They're going to take a running back they don't need. This is what I'm saying. This is exactly what I'm saying. They're going to talk themselves into a Mixon or something. See what I'm saying? They're going to be the ones to push the button. Remember, who took Laremy Tunsil last year?
I loved that pick.
I know it was a great pick, but this is what I'm saying. They're willing to take the PR hit down there. They're willing to chase skill position players. Every year, they're drafting a skill position player in the first three rounds. It was Devontae Parker. It was Leonte Crew. It was Jarvis Landry. See what I'm saying? Does business. They are not going to necessarily do the rational move. I'm not saying it's the right thing to do necessarily, but they're going to draft a running back. I guarantee you that.
No, I definitely agree. They're going to draft a running back. I just don't know if it's top three, though. That's the thing. That's what I'm a little bit more skeptical about, because I think with so many running backs that we love and being in the draft, a lot of them are going to get pushed down just because. And we had this for the past year. A lot of running backs got pushed down just because there was a glut of mediocrity, or, you know, just above average. I think we could have the same thing. So Miami could get someone in the fifth, just like they got Ajayi in the fifth. And yeah, sure, that person could overtake him. That's not really in question. I'm not saying that Ajayi is like foolproof. I'm just wondering who would be drafted. Okay,
here's an example, right? All else being equal, if I were starting a franchise today and I were trying to get a value running back, let's say for whatever reason I could get Jay Ajayi in the fifth round because that's where he was drafted.
Mm-hmm.
All else being equal, I'm starting a franchise today. I would rather have James Conner than Jay Ajayi because they have similar running styles. They're both, you know, run angry, break a lot of tackles. But to me, James Conner is a more explosive, better back overall. After especially he started catching passes in his final year at Pitt, he'd be a more exciting talent than a Jay Ajayi to me.
Fair.
Now, Chris, imagine P. Ryan goes to Miami because he could be third. That would be your best case scenario.
Ajayi's toast.
I would have to take vacation like that. No question. I would just have to take time off to let that really sink in about how awesome that would be. P. Ryan's more talented than Ajayi. That's not, I don't even think that's remotely within the realm of close. Yeah, that's not close.
Now, Chris, you have any more hot takes?
Oh, I have plenty. That's not really, I mean, that's okay. I can just go with one more here just to, unless.
Time for one more. You know, Matt did his, you know, rapid fire, which was awesome. I mean, I probably wrote down all of them and I'm trading all my Ajayi shares. And anywhere I have any of those players,
I can't believe I gave Eddie Lacy an eating disorder. That was so mean.
I think he gave him I think he gave himself that. I think he's the one that was like, you know, I have a problem and admitted it. So it's fair game then, I feel.
Well, yeah, that's the thing. At least he's self-aware. Jeremy Hill doesn't know that he's terrible.
Agreed.
He thinks he's the best.
All right. So yeah. my last one here, this is a little bit more, I don't know, Chris being a douche. I don't think Ezekiel Elliott's a top five back in 17. I just think that he had so many random inefficiencies, like yards per touch was 15th, surprisingly. Receptions 27th, breakaway rate 22nd, juke rate 28th, and fantasy points per opportunity, I believe he was 28th, if I'm not mistaken. Matt, you can correct me if I'm wrong on that one. That's the one I think I miswrote. But, I mean, he has these little things that he just was kind of average in. Then he had a lot of things like, you know, carries, overall yardage, touchdowns. He did fantastic in. And I just think that with Dak Prescott going into his second year, you're going to have defenses change up and they're going to play him differently. They're going to play him if Cowboys get another receiver, I'll be psyched about it because although I do like Terrence Williams for some reason I can't explain, he's not a second wide receiver. And I just think that Ezekiel Elliott is going to have a rougher second year than he did a first year. And I just think his numbers will go down a little bit. And
the argument is that he's not yet proven to be a great NFL receiver. Only 32 receptions last year. So that was the warning buoy if I had to find one. A lot of these inefficiencies are a natural, it's part of having a larger sample size. When you have a lot of carries, you end up going through challenging situations throughout the year where you end up facing a couple stout defenses in a row. So it's a natural outcrop of the larger sample size is that some of these efficiencies get pushed down, and the guys that aren't necessarily every down workhorses that find themselves in fortunate situations, especially guys that are a little more active in the passing game from a yards per touch standpoint, they're gonna shoot ahead of these every down workhorse players. But the every down workhorse player is a much more impressive asset. And also they're scoring a hell of a lot more fantasy points because they're the ones scoring the touchdowns. They're the ones that are rolling up all the yards, the scoring the 100-yard games. So they're the big fantasy producers. That's the thing that Ezekiel Elliott did the best last year. The one thing you could point to was top three in fantasy points, which is the thing we care about the most. But if you're trying to analyze his profile and find something to criticize, some reason to believe he's not going to be top five, it's the receptions. We're not sure how good he is in the passing game yet. And so you could conceivably find four or five running backs to push ahead of him if you were trying to sort of reverse engineer an argument against him.
Now, yes. Matt, real quick, about the larger sample size. So would that explain why he was 22nd in breakaway rate, but a number of breakaway runs, he was, I think he was top three?
Exactly. So okay. Duke Johnson's higher in breakaway rate because on a per carry basis, Duke right. Johnson's touching running for 15 yards or more chunk yard gains. But over the course of a full season, Duke Johnson's going to have a swath of games where he doesn't have any breakaway runs, and then that rate is going to drop. And then he's going to get much closer to Ezekiel Elliott. The volume is the thing in that we love in fantasy football. It's the driver, the targets for wide receivers, the opportunities for running backs. If the team trusts them to be the focal point, then you really should trust them for your fantasy team.
Yeah, and what I want to say about Elliott is, Chris, I could see his rushing yards going down.
Sure.
But I can see 20 more receptions. I can see around 50, but I can see him at like 1,200 yards because, you know, defenses will be focused on Elliott. And I do think the Giants defense figured it out, you know, midway through the season. I think, you know, Washington, they'll get better at defense. And God, who am I missing?
Philly is not getting better.
Philly, yeah. Their defense was very good at like the first four games. Then they kind of dropped off. But yeah, I mean, defenses are going to start figuring, you know, their offense out. They're going to have more tape. But yeah, I do think they use them in the passing game more.
Okay.
But with that being said, we are going to end the podcast. We like to thank.
Can we just let's celebrate Ezekiel Elliott? It's good yes. to have these guys.
Yes. Yes.
Thank you, running backs.
I love running backs. My favorite position.
Running backs there, man. Yeah. I remember LaDainian Tomlinson. I remember Marshall Faulk and Edgerrin James. It's nice to have those guys sitting at the top, the Le'Veon Bells, the David Johnsons, the Ezekiel Elliotts.
CJ Anderson.
I'm not, yes, baby. I actually don't spend much time trying to poke holes in those players' games, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I get it.
Yeah, and a player I miss most, Marshawn Lynch.
Oh, yes.
God, I miss him. But yeah, that will do it for the podcast. We'd like to thank Matt Kelly for coming on. Matt, why don't you let everybody know, you know, everything that you've got to give them and where they can find you on Twitter.
Yeah, playerprofiler.com is the website. You can go to look up things like breakaway runs and yards after contact and all these cool things that make Ezekiel Elliott look not as good as he actually is. He's really good, folks. He's really good. And you can go to iTunes and search for Roto Underworld Radio to get the podcast.
Yes, do that. It's good stuff. Chris and I, you know, avid listeners, we love it. And we want to let everybody know to check out our website. We have new writers coming in. We have new articles. We have rookie rankings that will be up. I know you guys have been waiting, but we finally have them up. And, you know, check out our new podcast. We have John Bosch's Fantasy Insanity on the Dynasty Happy Hour Network. And we also have Jet Set Dynasty. They are a great new upcoming pod. Check them out. They do things a little different. Matt, I think it's kind of around a mix of us and you. It's a good blend. I mean, last episode, if you missed it, they ate ghost pepper salsa doing hot takes for their rookie rankings. It was quite funny. It was interesting. And I've had that salsa before. And yeah, it's really hot. So it's good stuff. Chris, why don't you let them know where they can find you on Twitter?
Sure. So I'm at ChrisWhitman11. I answer messages far too fast if I actually care about you. But if it's a rookie mock draft on a Sunday afternoon, I will take my sweet ass time because it's Sunday fucking afternoon. Calm down, people. It's a fourth round of a rookie mock draft. Plain and simple. Yes.
What happened, man? You sound damaged.
No, I'm damaged because I had too much spicy food today and it's destroying me. But I'm angry because I keep getting these ridiculous messages about hurrying up for my 405 pick.
Oh, okay.
In a rookie mock draft. So I'm a little bit bitter.
Yeah, and that's another thing. We did a rookie mock. We are having an article come out on it, and we are planning on having the person who's writing the article, Clint, I don't know if you follow him, Clint Followell, which is interesting, Followell. But he is coming out with the article, and we want to have him on to talk about the mock. I know everybody's hungry for those rookie talk, so we will give you more of that. You can find Tim on Twitter at TimDynastyFF. You can find me on Twitter at DHHGunth. And Matt, we are actually going to let you give some last words.
Follow me on Twitter at @fantasy_mansion. Get CJ Procise on your team.
Yes.
Do not draft Mike Williams over Corey Davis. That would be a catastrophic mistake.
Woo. Hot last words. All right, everybody. We will see you next week.
Wait, did I say Corey Davis over Mike Williams?
Yeah.
Or Mike Williams over Corey Davis.
No, you said don't draft Mike Williams over Corey Davis.
Yes.
Okay, I did say that.
Yeah, you did say that.
Oh my God. Oh my God. I thought I told people under no circumstances to draft Corey. No, please, yes, draft Corey Davis. Woo! Thank God I got it right.
That's all the time we got today for another Dynasty Happy Hour. Be sure and follow the guys on Twitter at @DHHGunth, at @ChrisWhitman11, at @TimDynastyFF, and most importantly, at @DynastyHHPod. The music for this podcast was brought to you by The Morning Kings. Be sure and check them out at themorningkings.com. Catch you back here next time for the Dynasty Happy Hour. This has been a Dynasty Happy Hour Podcast Network.